just to give you the brief before we start. All right. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Oh, he's the lily of the valley. I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. Hallelujah, in sorrow is my comfort, in trouble is my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Oh, he will never, never leave me, nor he forsake me. Oh, while I live by faith and do his blessed will.
Fear.
Oh my,
then sweeping up to glory, we'll see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll.
Oh, he's the lily of the valley,
the bright and morning star,
he's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
All my grief has taken, and all my sorrows borne. In temptation is my strong and mighty tower.
Oh,
I am all for him forsaken, and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he meets me by his power.
Hallelujah, I like this one.
Though all the world forsake me, and Satan tempts me so, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal.
Oh,
he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Hallelujah.
He's the lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me whole again.
Hallelujah!
In sorrow is my comfort, in trouble is my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll.
Oh,
he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, I love this one. He all my grief has taken, and all my sorrows gone.
In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I am all for him forsaken, and all my idols torn. And now God, now he keeps me by his power.
Bless you, saints. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord once again.
Amen.
On this beautiful day. I just want to sing one song called I Will Restore. It's been on my heart for a long time now. I hope it's a blessing to you all.
Okay. bride, do you remember way back to your former reign when you were stood in position having dominion and all things under your feet, but you fell from that fellowship, and you wonder where you went wrong. So you cry out, yes you do, you thirst for the latter rain, and you fight for that power again. You see the palmer worm came in your life and ate, then the canker worm came in your life and ate, then the caterpillar and locust ate, but God promised, oh yes, he promised, and I will restore, said the Lord, I will restore, said the Lord, Jehovah promised, a Holy Ghost promised, I will restore, thus said the Lord, I will restore, thus said the Lord. Power shall come from on high after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me throughout the world. All my glory shall all men behold, for I shall come unto you as the former rain, and as the latter rain to you shall I come, and all men shall testify that you have the evidence, oh, that Jesus, he rose from the dead, and in your own atmosphere, will visit you there, for you were meant to be my demon of valor, and he promised, and I will restore, said the Lord, I will restore, said a Holy Ghost promise, I will restore, thus said the Lord, I will restore, thus said the Lord. Power shall come from on high after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me throughout the world. All my glory shall all men behold, for I shall come unto you as the former rain, and as the latter rain, to you shall I come, and all men will testify that you have the evidence. Oh, that Jesus, he rose from the dead. And in your own atmosphere, the Lord will visit you there. For you were meant to be my demand of valor, and he promised, and I will restore, said the Lord. I will restore, said the Lord. Jehovah promised, a Holy Ghost promised, I will restore, thus said the Lord. I will restore, thus said the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Wonderful singing, amen. I will restore, thus says the Lord, amen. Do you believe that? Amen. As we expect Sister BB to come, let's just sing the same chorus, amen.
I will restore.
To thank you all for all your prayer, your Hallelujah. Everything you have been for my family, to my family, my husband, all your support. It meant a lot for us. God bless you all. Amen. I just want to thank the Lord for everything. He's already done. It's already done. Battle is over. Victory is won. It's already done. It's already done.
Can we stand up and sing the same Super Rocks, amen? It's already done, amen. Hallelujah. We expect Sister Lubanga to come for a special, but while she comes, can we sing that song like we mean it, amen? Do you feel the inspiration?
Hallelujah.
Do you feel the anointing?
Hallelujah.
Let us sing it now. Hallelujah.
Song with Evael, but I don't know if she's already here. She is here. She's upstairs. Sorry. I'm gonna sing a song that I wrote and composed. Just worship the Lord with me. God is not dead. God is alive. God is not dead. God is alive. I can see His power moving all around us, giving joy in every heart. I can see His power moving all around. Thank you.
sing that song. He knows my name. Amen.
Amen.
Do you believe that the Lord knows your name?
Yes.
Amen. It's always good to know that we have a Father that knows our name. We may be millions and billions, but He knows each and every one of us. Amen.
Yes.
Let's sing that song with all of our hearts. Amen.
I have a Maker, and He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in His hands.
I'm so glad He knows.
Today, thank you, Brother Faithful. Just stay with saints if you would for music. As you know, today we're going to have a blessing upon our brother and our sister at 1 o'clock. So I know we're a little bit trying to keep time today, so we're really looking forward to that. But we thought today's offering will be to help our brother and our sister to get a good start. So we just waited for now to do the offering, just to say, saints, this is not for the church. This is for our brother and our sister as they enter into their married life. So let's take an offering as we ask Brother Faith to lead us in one more song.
It rebuilds my heart. You see God's mercy. It rebuilds my life.
Hallelujah.
like a great choir. Hallelujah.
Oh, my Jesus has changed my whole life.
Sounds lovely.
Did anybody ask you just who I am? You better tell them
one more time.
I am
without the music. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Pray for us, brother.
Amen. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we are so grateful once more with this blessed opportunity, Lord, that we have to be here in your house. Lord, we thank you for this special occasion, Lord, that you have allowed for us to witness in this day. Amen. Father, we thank you for everyone that has come today, Father, from far, from wide. Lord, we appreciate you for each and every one. Now, Father, we bring these offerings, Lord, and tithes that your children have put in your purse, that, Lord Jesus, may you bless them, Lord. May you bless the tithes and offerings. And also, Father, may you bless the use to which they will be put to. May you bless this special offering for our brother and sister, Father. We commit it into your precious mighty hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. It's good to be here today in his house. We have a few announcements and a few requests. So, Brother Fernando and Sister Regini are leaving. They're going back to Brazil 21st of June, so it's been wonderful being with them, and may the Lord bless them indeed. They were giving thanks to the saints for all the help and the fellowship while they've been there. It's been wonderful being with them. We wish they could stay, but may the Lord bless them as they do return home. Also, we have from the Chaba family wanting to thank the Lord for bringing mummy out of hospital and bringing her home safely. Amen. Amen. That was a powerful special as well. We thank the Lord. Also, a Sunday school group is saying, like to thank the Lord for our dear friend and sister Tabby on her birthday. The Lord has been gracious and blessed her with 15 years, and we pray for many more to come. So God bless you, sister. Just as we come to prayer, let's pray for Brother Mike. He's had to travel this morning across to the UK because he lost his sister-in-law. So really sorry about that, Brother Mike and Sister Patience. Let's keep them in prayer. And we have this Bible to be dedicated. Chamango has a Bible to be dedicated, so it may be a blessing to the young man. Let's pray. Father, what a wonderful thing it is to come before thee in prayer. Father, you have said, Father, that you would never leave us and forsake us, and how wonderful that you are. Father, no matter where we go, like our brother and sister sojourning with us in this season, how you've been with them, now we pray that you'll bless them and go back with them even as they would go. Father, Brother Mike, Lord, this need for his sister-in-law having passed away, we pray, Father, that you'll comfort the family. We pray that you'll be with them. We pray you'll bless the journey, bless the arrangements. We pray that the comforter will be there, Lord. Father, so thankful to see our sister Bibi, Lord. What a blessing it is, Lord, that we can call upon thy name. And Father, may you continue to strengthen her and bless her and her family, Lord, we pray. And Father, this Bible, Lord, your word, where would we be without it, Lord? Father, we pray for Brother Chimango, that this Bible will be a blessing to him, Lord. Father, may you speak unto him as he opens the pages, Lord. Father, may you commune with him. May the Bible read him. Father, Lord, may you sanctify him and quicken him and shine light upon his path and bless this book, we pray. And Father, as we come to the word now, thankful for the specials that have been sung. Thank you for the worship upon this day. Just praying it will be with us and all the things that lay before us now. As we thank you for this day, Father, be glorified, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen, saints. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Thank you to Sister Becky for the item as well. That was really wonderful. And Brother Lubanza, God bless you, bro. Yes. Brother Lubanzi, he always sneaks in. I can't say anything against because that's what we normally do when you go away as well. You just sneak in the back in service time because you don't want people to, you want a break sometimes. You don't need people to ask you to preach. So you go there anonymously many times. So saints, we want to open the Bible, Genesis 24. Let's get two scriptures. Genesis chapter 24 from verse 1 up to verse 7. Let's just get a thought. We're not going to take long today. We're supposed to at 1. We'll probably have to push a few minutes after 1. We were asked in the beginning just to do a wedding blessing for a brother and sister, and you know what it's like. The more people get into it, the more gets added, the more that's added. If you'd waited another 1 or 2 days, it would have been a full-blown wedding. So things have just really accumulated. But marriage belongs in the house of God. You might have been married in the court. You might have been married traditionally, which are good things to do. Give to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. But what you want is the Lord's blessing. You know, to come and before the children of God, before many witnesses, in the presence of God. That's the place that marriage really should be done. So our brother and sister have asked us to bless them, although they've already gone through all the formalities and everything else has been done. So that's what it started out as, but it has grown a little bit bigger, as we'll see later on. Genesis 24, let's read the beginning. This is Eliezer and Abraham. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Hallelujah. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go to my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou camest? You know, I mean, if she doesn't want to come and worship in the message, should we go to the message and go and find her out there? Nope. And Abraham said unto him, beware thou that they bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Amen. Amen. Good counsel, good advice. Let's read one more verse, Acts 15, verse 28. This is when the saints had gathered together, trying to find out what was the mind of the Holy Ghost concerning the Gentiles coming in. But we just want verse 28. The conclusion the apostles made after the Jerusalem council, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. Friends, if we could make decisions like that, it would be powerful. Now, any decision you make, it seems good to the Holy Ghost and to me. But sometimes you put it the other way around, you know. We say, it's good to me, I hope it's good to the Holy Ghost. That's not a wise way to make decisions in life. It seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Amen. May the Lord help us. May the Lord bless his word, saints. Let's be seated. I'm not going to use too many slides here. I just want to keep ourselves going. But we're looking at the thought of divine compatibility. Thank you, bro. Okay, so we do have visitors. Sister Antoinette, Brother David's niece. God bless you. We're really glad to see you. Amen. And we have quite a few here. This is very good. Mayamba Jayodidi, God bless you. Francis Rodriguez and Christiana. God bless each and every one. Hallelujah. You're more than welcome in the house of the Lord today. We're sorry to greet you late, but maybe we leave the best to last, sometimes like that. So we're looking at divine compatibility. You know, we're going to have a wedding blessing, so let's take a thought. And our thought today is, what are the scriptural conditions of marriage? Let's say somebody comes to me, and it's going to have to be a special person one of these days to ask me about Rachel. Yeah, I've got to really be careful about the conditions that I set. Or think of yourself as a dad or a mom, or think of yourself as a young person. What are the scriptural conditions of marriage? Like for someone to get married, what is it scripturally? Now, it might sound very simple, and it's good. It is simple, but we are not simple people. We like to put a lot of terms and conditions many times on people because maybe of our upbringing, our culture, maybe because of, you know, our economic standing and so forth. So, you know, we can add quite a lot if we're not careful to sometimes the divine requirements that the Bible sets for us. So we just want to look at scripturally and then take it into the message. Say, let's say somebody wants to get married. Let's say somebody comes to Brother David and says, look, hey, I'm really interested in your daughter. What are the conditions? What should he be looking at to find out whether, yes, this is the right person for my daughter, or if you wanted to get married yourself as young people, do you meet the requirements scripturally to get married? You know, I think it would be just good for us to just have a bit of a refresher, just to remind ourselves of some of these things once again. So the first thing is, where do we get our example from? We're living in a Hollywood age. You know, we don't want to be living in a social media age that influences us in these kind of things. You know, we're living in Laodicea, where there's the pressure of riches. The riches are the most important thing. So sometimes we can start putting other requirements because of the influence around us, peer pressure, the way we grew up, the way we did things. You know, it's very, very easy for us to do that. Social media influences. You know, it's so easy to be influenced by people. But if you really go and ask, what are their spiritual qualifications to be so powerful in the influence in this world, you find many times there's just no vindication behind the influence. You know, I mean, it's very easy. You can make a channel these days of how to put Lego sets together and have 10 million subscribers. I mean, you'd be surprised what people can do in this age. So I don't think we need to be looking in that kind of place, especially not at Hollywood. You know, if you look at divorce statistics, like we've shown many times, divorces in America is over 50%. And it's better than it really seems, because most people don't get married anymore. They just live together. Now, so the reality is much higher than that. Relationships break down. Now, people get involved in things and maybe they never really were qualified, weren't ready, never met the conditions to get into that relationship. Now, you don't want to be in that position. Yeah, we don't want to put people in that position. So we want to see what's the right thing. So where do we get our influence from? Abraham says, he says, if you go to the eastern country and see their unchanging habits, well, then you find out more about the Bible. It became a new book to me after I went to the East. So God's mind on marriage, God's mind on relationships, God's mind on approaching marriage, we've had a look at it before, the youth and that, is still reflected in some of the Eastern cultures. Our Western culture is so perverted. I mean, it's as it was in the days of Lot. That's the time that we're living in. We cannot use Western culture as any sort of measure stick. That original divine image, the mind that God had in the beginning concerning relationships, how to approach marriage, and you know, who should be married and when, that's long been lost in Western culture. Now, it's just paganism has taken over, and that's why there's so much immorality, and it just doesn't work. But we want to search for the ancient paths. That's what the Bible says. Search for the ancient paths and walk in them, and you shall find rest for your soul. Yeah, you're going to find the old bloody footprints. That's where you're going to find that ancient scriptural wisdom, you know, that mind of the Lord, that divine frequency. What frequency? Well, how does God see these things? That's going to make all the difference. And the prophet says many times you need to go to the east. Because in some of those cultures, the older cultures back there now, not if you go to Tel Aviv these days, I mean, Tel Aviv is Hollywood culture as well. But if you go to the ancient cultures, some of the Orthodox, they still retain an element of the original light. And that's what the prophet is telling us there. So he says, our Western ideas are far from Eastern ways. And the Bible is an Eastern book. Yeah, and God, he revealed himself and many of these principles to the peoples of the East, starting from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the way through until you got to, you know, the days of Jesus on with the apostles and so forth. He says, you can't understand the parables and so forth, the teachings, until you go there and see those same customs lived out today. You know, so how was marriage done in Bible times? It was really, really simple. Now, what were the conditions in Bible times? Now, let's be honest with one thing. If I could ask if anybody can give me a scripture. There's one scriptural absolute concerning marriage. Does anybody know what it is? One. One absolute. Yes, absolutely. The sister did well. Be ye not unequally yoked together to unbelievers. You can search through the New Testament. That is the only requirement you're going to find explicitly expressed in the New Testament. So there's one absolute, and that is a real absolute to a believer, is you do not marry an unbeliever. Paul goes on to say, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? No, even in the Old Testament, you are told when you were going to put when Paul speaks the New Testament, speaking of Old Testament principles, he says you cannot be yoked together. You cannot yoke together a believer with an unbeliever. When you had your ox in the Bible days, you were told you can't yoke an ox together with a donkey. You couldn't do that. Put them under the same yoke to plow. They've got different natures. They've got different strengths. They're going to be pulling in different directions. It's not going to be fair maybe for the donkey. Because the ox has got its ideas, it knows how it's going to do things. And that's what Paul likens it to when you put two people together under a common yoke in marriage. You need to be pulling in the same direction. You've got to have the same nature. You've got to be able to work in unison, have the same vision, the same purpose. So you don't want to know, no matter how sincere a person would be who's not a believer, no, they've got their agenda. They've got their own, like we always say, their frequency they operate at. You know, they've got a frequency which doesn't match the frequency of the word. And so you're asking for a huge amount of trouble. And that's why the Lord made it clear right from the beginning. So what is the definition of an unbeliever? You know, there was a lot of unbelief. We saw it last week in the Dark Ages. The Lord started to restore. Here came Luther. He started to restore the message. So the Lutherans had some of the message revealed to them. And then they stopped short. Yeah? And there's a lot of the message which, if Luther had continued on, maybe things would have continued unfolding and unfolding. You know, so if you're going to marry a Lutheran person, are they an unbeliever? They're an unbeliever of many of the things that we believe. Because it's never been revealed to them. You speak to a Lutheran person about adult baptism. You tell them about baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell them about the gifts of the Spirit. Tell them about the book of Revelation. Tell them about the mysteries. Now tell them about Elijah. Tell them about all these kind of things. They don't believe those things. Yeah. You know, so you might look at a person and say, but this is a good Methodist person. And they may be a good Christian Methodist person. Because the Methodist move came next. So the next portion of the message was restored. The original message, the faith delivered to the saints, was now revealed to Wesley. So he had more of the message than Luther did. But he still didn't have the full message restored. The original faith. You know, so if you want to go and marry a Methodist person, they might be a really good person, nice person, but they're going to want to baptize pouring water on your baby's head. You know, they don't believe in the holiness that we believe in and the way people should dress and all those kind of things. There's so many things which they hadn't yet got to. So you can see that they've got a portion of unbelief there. And that unbelief, when you try to yoke yourself together, that's the thing that's going to cause you a lot of problems, is that unbelief now. And if you get to the next move now, which was the Pentecostal move, the next portion of the message was restored, the restoration of the gifts. So they went further now than the Methodists. But there's still so many things we believe that the Pentecostals don't believe. You know, and so that's where all the problems are going to come in, isn't it? When you try to say, okay, look, this person's a believer. But yeah, maybe they are 3/4 of the way there or 2/3 of the way there. But it's the rest of the way there that's going to be the one that's, because those are things that are most precious, important things to you and I. Amen. You know, but they're not precious and important to somebody else. Yeah, and you're pulling in different directions. So you've now yoking two people together that aren't governed by exactly the same things. You're asking for a lot of problems. So people always ask about that, but it's a person might be a Christian. And we're not de-Christianizing anybody. A person can be a Christian, but like Abraham said, he sent Eliezer, I need people from the same bloodline. I need people from the same faith. Even if you've got to travel far, even if you've got to take several months' journey on a camel, don't let my son marry these Canaanites here. Now you find someone of the same faith that we believe. Someone in those days, someone who believes in one God. Someone who believes in Elohim, who believes in Jehovah. Now those were the things. So that's why it was a very important principle in the Bible. So when it says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, you want to find someone of the same faith. That's what it is. You might even have problems in the message. Marry a seven thunder person. Yeah. Hey, and they're going to be telling you the seven virtues or the seven thunders, and you're going to have big contention in your home because maybe you don't believe that. Now, they're going to be telling you a lot of things which they believe. You know, so you want to find somebody, and that's going to need the leadership of the Holy Ghost, because what is our thought today is divine compatibility. The greatest need in marriage is divine compatibility. And only God can bring two people together that are divinely compatible. Because that's what he did with Adam and Eve. He brought somebody divinely compatible. Because God made somebody exactly right for Adam. The prophet says about Eliezer when he went and the angel followed him and he found Rebekah. The prophet says he could have searched the whole world over and you never would have found someone more suitable for Isaac than Rebekah. Because that was God's choice. That's why he said he'll send his angel before thee. That supernatural leadership to find exactly the right person. And if it's exactly the right person, it's like in the days of Elijah when he was in Brook Cherith. And then the Lord says, go down to Zarephath because I have commanded a widow woman to look after you. Doesn't mean the Lord came down to that widow woman and said, you need to look after my prophet Elijah. No, the Lord had prepared her by the things she had been through. The Lord, she didn't even know the Lord maybe had commanded her to look after Abraham. You know, so the Lord might have commanded you to be a pastor's wife. And you don't know it yet, but the things you're going through are preparing you for that. It's the Lord preparing you for whatever it is that you want. And only the Lord in predestination can do these things. He's the only one who can bring, in this whole world of 8 billion people, bring 2 people together that are exactly suited to each other divinely. You might have a different diet. You might have different favorite colors. You might, one of you likes this, the other one likes that. But there's a divine compatibility. There's an inward something inside of you that you're able to resolve differences, that you're able to come to an understanding of each other, that you're able in richer and poor, in sickness and in health, to really, really stay together and pray together and work together. That's divine compatibility. That's what we want. So if you go back to Bible times, then like I said, there's only one real absolute you're going to find in the Bible that says, don't marry an unbeliever. That's why if Daniel comes to me one of these days and says, Dad, hey, there's this nice girl down the road there. Yeah, I say, where does she fellowship? Why she fellowships at the church there by the lake? I'm going to say, son, I think let's pray a little bit further. Let's pray a little bit deeper. Maybe you and me get up earlier in the morning and let's start seeking the face of God because that's not the requirements of the word. Yeah, it's got to be that you yoke together equally. There's got to be something like that. So in Bible days, if you go back, the prophet says, go back and look in the Eastern customs. Go back and look in their culture if you want to understand things. In Bible days and up to now in those cultures, there were 3 things they were looking at if somebody wants to marry. Okay, let's look at them. And we know them, not difficult. Number one. There firstly had to be the availability of a suitable partner. That's what we're speaking about. You know, so before you're thinking of getting married, you've got to find a suitable partner. That's God bless you guys. So there's got to be a suitable partner. So that's what Abraham was seeking for. He said, look, the very first requirement before I allow my son to marry is there's got to be a suitable partner. Now, there's got to be the right person at the right place at the right time. That's the conditions of fulfilling a vision. Yeah, and who can bring that vision to pass in your life if you're not led by the Holy Ghost? The leadership of the Holy Ghost is such a simple thing. You know, it's not a complicated thing. That still small voice that leads you is very simple. You know, somebody has asked me outside saying, is the will of God important in every aspect of life? And I said, of course. Every decision that you make, how do you find the will of God? When you're wrestling in your mind, if you're in the strait between 2 things, you can't make up your mind, you're double-minded, you don't yet know the will of the Lord. Amen. But when you wait on the Lord and that something settles down within the veil, like I was saying, it's like the answer presents itself. Many times you find that in life. You're not exactly sure, how should I do this or what should be done? How can I approach this? You know, and you're restless about it. It's going through your mind. You're going this way and that. But as you get closer to the time and you're waiting on the Lord, it just presents itself. There's like that still small voice. Something settles within the veil. Say, oh, that's what needs to be done. And friend, to a believer, that's a certain sound. To a believer, that is an unfailing something inside of your life. That when you get yourself still and you wait upon the Lord and he speaks to you in the simplicity like that, you start learning like Samuel in the temple. You start learning how to hear the voice of the Lord and how to respond. And you do, you get to the stage that you know, this is the Lord telling me to do this. Now, I said it just in that simple example the other day when I went down to the shopping center and wasn't going to put the parking ticket on the car. And then something said, you better put the parking ticket on the car today. I'd been there so many times before, never put the thing on because the traffic warden never goes down there. It was so clear, I went straight away, put the money, put the thing. Went into the shop, came outside, the guy was standing by our car. And to me, it's simple, but to me it was so powerful. Because whenever the Lord guides you or speaks to you or leads you, it's a powerful thing to you personally. To another person, it might seem a simple thing. But you know that, yay! And you look inside of your life, you'll find that leadership of the Holy Ghost. It's such a precious thing. You know, and he's not far off. The Bible says we don't have to go to heaven and pull him down. We don't have to go down to the deep and raise him up. He's so close, Paul says, even the word that's in your mouth. Now, he's so close. And if you can just become like a little child, he can lead you in every decision, whether it's a big decision or a small. But like David out there in the wilderness, you got to start learning how to use your weapons. While you're in that, while he's in the quarry still and he's preparing you for your life's work, whatever that is, you need to learn how to use your weapons. The weapon of prayer, the weapon of waiting upon the Lord in his word, the weapon of which message should I listen to concerning what I'm going through. Those are really important things to learn. You know, because a word in season, how good it is, the Bible says. That's a powerful thing, the word. When you just get that word in season, everything else goes silent. Because when the lion roars, everything goes quiet. When the Lord God speaks to you, it might be in simplicity, but it'll be powerful inside of your soul. Everything is just under control after that. You just feel everything's under control. So you wanted to find the suitable partner. So you need the leadership of the Holy Ghost in your life. So if you're not a believer, you haven't received the Holy Ghost, you don't know what the leadership of the Holy Ghost is, I would say you shouldn't start thinking about marriage. You got to get to know your weapons first. This is a real prerequisite. How are you going to be led to the right person if you don't know the leadership of the Holy Ghost? If you don't know Christ in a reality inside of your life, you're going to make yourself a big mistake, and you don't want to make a mistake, because we're going to read wedding vows here, and they're going to say until death us do part, and God is going to hold you to that. When a disposable society, people dispose marriage and think we can just play around with it, but God is still very, very clear. It's until death us do part. So this isn't a try before you buy. No, this isn't a, you know, two for the price of one. We don't believe in those things. We believe that God's choice for you is perfect. And if you'll follow his leadership, he'll lead you exactly to the right person. The same one that led Eliezer to Rebekah is the same one that'll lead you. He may use other people to help you to find the right person, like he did in that story. Yeah, and God has his ways of doing it. You just be in the way like Eliezer. Eliezer said, I being in the way, the Lord led me. And that's all you got to do. Maybe the Lord will say to you, go along to the youth meeting in Wawa, wherever it is. And there's just said something settled. I need to go to that meeting. And you go, pah, the vision is fulfilled. The right people in the right place at the right time. It's as simple as that. But where does the problem come in? Overthinking things. We are people that overthink things. God hides himself in simplicity. Man confuses himself in complexity. And we've got to get those other voices stilled. We've got to learn to wait upon the Lord. When, you know, when all these thoughts are going through your mind and all these influences are pulling you this way and the other, all you need is to become still. Be still and know that I'm God. That's what he says. And then it says in Isaiah, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way that you should go when you turn to the left and the right. And we know what it's like. Every child of God here knows the leadership of the Holy Ghost. And you know the times when you didn't listen to the leadership of the Holy Ghost, or the times that you convinced yourself that your desire was the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Because we've all done that. But we learn obedience by the things that we suffer. You know, we go through these things. So we need to find a suitable partner. Number two, what's the next thing in Bible days? You got to get family consent, especially the blessing of your father. The blessing of the father was such an important thing in days gone by. You go and read Genesis chapter 49 when Jacob, his last earthly act, when he raises up and he blesses his sons. Now, it's called a blessing, but he didn't bless many of them. He didn't bless Reuben. He said, Reuben, you are my firstborn, the excellency of my might. As unstable as water, you shall not excel. Yay. He said, let his men be few. Yay. Yeah, it's difficult. But when he gets to Joseph now, he has a young man who's done things right. He has a young man who in the days of his youth, he's tapped right down into the supernatural. He's a fruitful bough planted by a well. Right from his youth, he's tapped deep and he knows the God of his father. When he comes and stands before his father, the Holy Ghost comes so quickening, with such quickening power upon Jacob. It's almost Jacob searches heaven and earth for words that he can use to bless his son. And one of the greatest things you can do is get the blessing of your parents. The Bible says Esau, when he saw Jacob go to marry, yeah, he says he also wanted to marry, so he went and he married the Ishmaelites. It says it was a grief of mind to his parents. That's why I'm saying, saints, there's a difference between blessing and permission. You might squeeze permission out of your dad to get married to somebody. Now, you might be like the unjust judge, you know, the parable, and you're just so much speaking to your dad about this person. In the end, your dad's just so tired. You must like, just go and marry her, like that. I give you permission, but there's a difference between a blessing. When God is in an issue, there's a blessing. And the children of God can sense the divine blessing. That's how when people in courtship, they play games they shouldn't play. When people are not faithful along the way, watch out on the wedding day. There's no blessing. Everyone can feel there's something not quite right here. Yeah, it's like when somebody comes with sin into church. Yeah, you can just sense it. You just know there's something not quite right here. You're really wanting a blessing in these things. So that's what we're looking for is we're wanting the blessing of our parents. Now, you may not be able to get that. You might, like our good brother, he comes from a Muslim background. His parents don't want him to be a Christian. They don't want him to marry a Christian girl. So you find yourself, you try the best you can to get the blessing. But in the end, we should rather obey God than obey man. No, you can't. There comes a point where God believes and is working inside your life, the faith that you believe, you have to, but you still respect. You still have to respect them, but it doesn't mean in those circumstances that you're bound. You're not. Because, you know, people that are living not according to the word, trying to hold you back when you're following the leadership of the word, no. There comes a point. But as far as you possibly can, and so many of you are already blessed because you've got believing parents. My, you got believing parents and they want to give you the blessing. And if you just follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost, the blessing will take care of itself. So that's what they used to do. Now, in family consent now, where we as dads and mums sometimes make a mistake, is we can make ourselves the standard. You know, so my daughter comes and we'll get onto it just now when you see Brother Branham when he got married. Sister Hope was from a very rich family. Yeah? You know, I'll actually show you a picture. We'll come back to that. There's Brother Branham and Charlie Brumback. That's his father-in-law there on the left-hand side. Charlie Brumback, do you know how much he earned in a month? He earned, if you convert it to today, over 12,000 euro a month. He earned a lot of money. He worked for the trade unions. This is during the time of the Great Depression. The man was a rich man. You know how much the prophet earned in those days? 20 cents an hour. Convert to today's date, the things I did it yesterday. He earned 800 euro a month. So imagine you earning me. Imagine me. I've got business going. I'm doing well. Lot of money. I'm living in a big house. You can imagine the house Mr. Brangbeck and them had. They weren't living down there in the poor area of Memphis. They were living up maybe Silver Hills way there, you know. I don't know what you do in Dublin, Leopardstown or Bray, I don't know, Malahide, you know, living in a good area. And here comes a boy, imagine. He's only got a seventh grade education. He's earning 200 euro a week. And he comes to you and says, I'd like to marry your daughter. That's going to need the grace of God, friends. Because if you're going to make yourself the standard and say, son, imagine Sister Hope, she grew up in a rich life. Imagine, there's a picture of the home that they went into when they were married. Cost $4 a month. 200 euro a month they were paying for rent. Imagine, it was a two-roomed house. You taking a girl from a rich background, yeah, and you bringing her into this kind of social condition, there's going to have to be divine compatibility. I mean, if God is not in the issue, friends, you're going to have a lot of problems here. Because she's going to live big time in the rearview mirror. She's going to say, this wasn't the way, this wasn't like this when we were at home. Yeah, this wasn't the way that things were done with my dad. Think of them. If you go and listen to the message, what does Brother Bram say about when they got married? I'll just read you the quote. He says, when they got married now, he says, how happy that they were. But he says, when we got married, we didn't have nothing. Nothing for housekeeping. I think we had $2 or $3. So we rented a house. It cost us $4 a month, 200 euro a month. It was a little old two-room place. And someone gave us an old folding bed. Hey, I'm trying to think of the grace it's going to need when somebody comes to me, and there's Rachel, and somebody comes with a seventh grade education, and they're earning 800 euro a month. And they say, I'm saying, guys, if you want to get married, where are you going to go? We've got a two-roomed house down the way there, but you mind if you could lend us a bed? But that's what it was. Can you see the key to this thing here is God's got to be in the program. Because if you go and listen to Life Story, you will see Mr. Brumback, this rich man, had no problems in them getting married. No problems at all. He said, Billy, I'd rather you have her than anybody else in the world because I know that you will love her and I know that you look after her. Hey. See my thoughts I'm saying, friends. Let's be careful of the conditions we set. Because we can take ourselves as the standard. I might be very well educated. Here comes a seventh grade boy. Was it Brother Bram's fault that he had a seventh grade education? Was it his fault he was poor? He was a man who just needed a fair chance at life. He just needed a break. And Charlie Brumback saw the potential in this young man. He saw there's something genuine about this young man. Maybe all these other guys with the slick back hair coming in, the hot rods were coming down and knocking on the door and said, I'd like to go out with your daughter. This man had enough of God in him to know where God was, to know the leadership of God. And maybe all rich guys were coming. And if you go and read Life Story, Mrs. Brumback, I'll actually quote for you about Mrs. Brumback. Do you know about Mrs. Brumback? She was a really interesting lady. Because when Brother Bram went and asked Sister Hope, will you marry me? She said, yes. Said, okay, but we need to tell our parents. Brother Bram says, you tell your mom. I'll tell your dad. He says, why? Because he said, I was a little afraid of her mother. Her mother was kind of rough. But her father was a gentle old Dutchman, just a fine old fellow. He was an organizer of the Brotherhood, making $500 a month, 12,000. I was making 20 cents an hour. I knew that would never work. Now, her mother, she's a nice lady. You see, he's very diplomatic. She's a nice lady. She's kind of one of these higher societies, you know, a prissy-like. Now, one of these ones that always has the tea parties and wears a special hat with a feather on the side, you know, and everything in the house has just got to be perfect. Antiques on the shelf. Don't even think of leaving clothes on the floor in the bedroom. You know, it's one of those people like that. Now, I find the most amazing thing is that this man, Mr. Brumback, married this woman. Because he was such an easygoing guy. And he marries someone who's a high society kind of a woman. Hey, that wasn't easy. So when Brother Bram went and asked him, you know, he dramatized it, Brother Bram. He says when he went, he was going to ask Charlie Brumback to marry, and they sat in their house and after church on a Sunday, and then he couldn't get the nerve to ask. So he walked out, half past nine time to go home. Sister Hope came and said, you need to ask my dad. said, I know I'm supposed to, but I don't know how to do it. He said, call him. So he calls, he says, Charlie, could I speak to you? And he looks at him and he says, and Mrs. Brandberg looked at me, looked at Charlie, looked at Hope. And he said, let me speak to you out on the porch. He knew what he was doing. And now he's so nervous. He's saying, sure, it's a nice night. And we've been having good weather. And Charlie Brandberg was a real good man. He said, you can have her, Billy. He knew what it was. He made it easy for the young man. Didn't torture the young man. He knew, this is the right guy for my daughter. Just something settled inside of himself. He said, this is the right person. And then he says, thank you, Charlie. But what about the mother? He says, I'll take care of that. Imagine, what a good man that was. Because he knew how to speak to his wife. He knew, better not anybody else speak to my wife about this. I understand my wife. Let me be the one to go and persuade her about this. And the advice that he gave now. When Brother Evans says, Charlie, thank you so much. I earn 20 cents an hour. I know that your daughter, she lives, you know, such a good life and all that kind of stuff. He says, I know that I'll do the best that I can. He says about Mrs. Brumback, she didn't have much use for me anyhow. I was just an old, plain, sassafras country boy. And she thought Hope ought to go with a little better class of boy. Hey, that's not easy, friends. But he had the blessing of the Father. And that was a great thing. He won the confidence of this man. And that made the whole thing easier. And I think that's a key. It really, really is a key. Because when you're getting married, you're not just marrying a person, you're marrying into a family. So you need to be wise. There's that saying, you know, if you're trying to get promotion and the people you step on the way up the ladder are the same people you meet on the way down. You know, so be very, very careful. Because the same ones that you give a hard time to before you get married are your in-laws for the rest of your life. So you better walk softly and you better be wise. And he did. Brother Bram won the confidence. And in the end, they got married. Although now, taking her from that environment and taking her back down there to a totally different social class than she was used to, there's got to be something divine there. That's what I'm saying, divine compatibility, the leadership of the Holy Ghost. God being in the program is the great criteria that we're speaking about. If she's a believer and God is in the program, it's going to work out okay. You can say that. Absolutely. It's going to work out fine. It's going to work out fine. If God is in the program and you love one another, you might have nothing in the home. It's going to be okay. It's going to be. We might have to pray a lot as fathers to say, Lord, to overcome self. But if we get still before the Lord, many times you'll discern and say, Lord, yes, this is my personal preference. That's why I read the scripture. It seemed pleasing to the Holy Ghost and to us. The most important thing, Lord, is this pleasing to you for my son to marry this girl? Then you find it, I believe this is pleasing to the Holy Ghost. And how do you know it's pleasing to the Holy Ghost? The Urim and Thummim in the body of Christ. Amen. You never find in any of the life stories a single person who counseled Brother Branham not to marry Sister Hope. Yeah. Except for the mum. She's the only one that's even a mention. And it's nothing to do with spiritual things. It's because she's a prissy, high society kind of person. And you can understand. Now, maybe that's the level of her understanding. She's thinking, hey, taking my daughter. I'm sure Sister Hope had a wardrobe full of clothes. It wasn't always going to be like that, no? Because when they get married, they buy the easy reclining chair. What happens to the chair? It gets repossessed. Is it going to be easy for you as a dad? Imagine Brother David, he hears, hey, dad. They came and repossessed the furniture in our flat the other day. I couldn't pay the bills. Yeah. Is it going to be easy for Sister Prayer?
No.
Can you see?
That's right.
Think, put yourself in that story. Yeah. Yeah. God was in the program. Now, let me make it clear. Can I balance it the other side? We don't want no lazy bums coming and asking us about our daughters. We don't want somebody who's just, you know, no. Brother Bram was working his fingers to the bone.
That's right.
He was doing the best that he can.
That's right.
We don't want somebody coming just trying to live an easy life, living off social welfare, you know, trusting in social housing. And then he sends his wife out to work. Yay! That's not going to be easy for parents to swallow that one there. But if you can see, this is a genuine young man. You look at Brother D, you say, yeah, there's potential there. Because remember, potential is something that's not yet expressed. But it needs to be given the opportunity, the environment, the atmosphere to express itself. And people could see. Imagine Brother Bram at the end. Imagine. A man who turns the world upside down in his generation. Was Charlie Brumback's faith in this young man not many times rewarded over and over again? Many, many times. This, you know, and he could see something told him, this is the young man. And it's the key. So obviously you've got to be balanced on these things. And that's how you've got to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost. And that's all that you want to follow. But when he speaks now about them going and living in their two-room shack, what does he say? He says, we got married. He says, oh, we were happy though. We had one another. And that was all that was necessary. And God, by his mercy and his goodness, we were the happiest little couple that could be on earth. Hey, what is true riches? That's true riches. That's right. The greatest riches you can have is have Christ in your home. There's no greater riches than to have Christ in your marriage. Because you're going to go, what happened to them? Did they have to go through the richer and poorer? The vows? Yeah, they did. Did they have to go through sickness and health? They had to, but they were together. Amen. They loved one another. Amen. He was 100% faithful to his vows. And those vows were tested severely in their marriage, but they loved one another. So that is a real, real criteria that we need to have. We need to come to a close. So we said, you want to get the blessing. Yeah? And I do believe that's not a hard thing to get. If you are a genuine child of God and you're following the simplicity of the leadership of the Holy Ghost and you meet a girl or you meet a boy, yeah, and their parents are believers, is it hard for them to sense this is pleasing to the Holy Ghost? It's not hard. Yeah. Sometimes we need to overcome some of our biases a little bit because of our financial standing, our educational standings and requirements and so forth. But just given enough time, we'll come around, you know. Maybe not the first time you come and visit because we're going to be watching you. Yeah. But given the test of time, that which is genuine will express itself. Amen. You'll just see, now this is a fine young man. Hey, I'll be sinning against the Holy Ghost if I don't allow this. You feel it inside of yourself. This is the will of God. And the Urim and Thummim, like I say, if you read all the life story messages, not a single person do you find came and said, you shouldn't marry that girl. Can you see? And that's a power. That's a real powerful evidence. When you find, the prophet says, when the pastor's happy and the deacons are happy and the church is happy, God is happy. Amen. That's the Urim and Thummim. So when you look and you see a couple together, yes, they might still be a little bit rough around the edges. You know, they still might have some of the original temperament might show itself now and again. But you will see that, yeah, Christ is in this relationship. Friends, that's the thing that you're looking for. That's the most important thing. All the other things are secondary. Not saying they're not important, but everything else is secondary. Everything else is a preference. It's not a requirement. We're speaking about what are the scriptural requirements? What are the conditions scripturally for marriage? Now, the rest of it is my preference. I'd prefer if the young man had good qualifications. I'd prefer if the young man was rich. That's my preference. But how does the scripture say? My ways are not your ways. Amen. Amen. And we learn that. Like here, God's ways were not the same as Mrs. Brumback's ways. God's thoughts didn't match her thoughts. And when it's like that, we need the ability to submit. We need the ability to give in and just follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost in the issue. That's why I said it's a divine compatibility. That's the key criteria in marriage. If you can see God has brought two people together, there's the Urim and Thummim in the bride. People are blessed when they hear that. How many times have we seen it? We know with Brother George from back home. We always give the example of our one good brother. And he so much wanted to marry one sister. He was a brother that we saw come to the Lord and stuff. And nobody could see him being with that sister. And then I asked Brother George, what do you think of this brother? And he straight, he named another sister. And I said, that's what I feel. I went to see the pastor one day. He said, brother, what do you think about this brother? Who should he marry? And I just named this other sister. He got up, the pastor came and shook my hand. He said, that's the Holy Ghost. He said, everybody else in the church can see it except for him. He was going to make a big mistake, but the Lord sorted things out. And that brother went and married that sister. And it just settles behind the veil in the bride. Amen. There's just something that settles, and you know, that's it. It's just the way it's supposed to be. Yeah. All other things will take care of themselves. Now, we don't want to be running too quickly as we come to a close. Finally now, the third condition before you're allowed to marry in the Old Testament or in Eastern culture, the ability to support a family financially. Now, I've given you the example of Brother Branham. We're speaking of necessities here. Yeah, and it depends on the environment we're in. It depends on the culture that we're in and so forth. You know, but we've got to be balanced on this one here. Now, one man's break-even point, Charlie Brumback earned more in a month than Brother Brum did in a year. You know, so one man's spare change with another man's monthly salary. You know, so we got to really have a look and see. But you young people looking to marry, you want to make sure there's no need for people in the Western world where we are, yeah, to have to go and live in a two-room shack. Is there? You don't need it in this culture. You know, so you've got to have some ambition. You've got to do some preparation. In Bible times, when you'd come and the parents would give the blessing, you'd have the betrothal, you know, you'd come together. You were married, but you didn't live together yet. Why? Because a young man had to go and prepare a home. Now think of it in the days of the Bible. Where's a young man going to get money to go and build a four-bedroom home? You know what they normally would do? They'd go and build another room onto the father's home, the family home, because that's their land. They're going to inherit this in the end. So they would go in that year. Now, there was normally a year between the betrothal and coming together in the actual wedding, you know, the wedding feast. In that period, now he would be preparing a place. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. That's what he's doing as well. He's the heavenly bridegroom. You know, so, but think in Bible days. There was no criteria of how big this house had to be, how many rooms. Those are preferences now. As long as it's a decent place. As long as I could see if I'm living in the days, maybe I'm Joseph. In those days, I'm a carpenter. I don't earn so much money. Yeah, a young boy comes wanting to marry my daughter. I go and I have a look. I say, hey, he's built a very good room for her. Yeah, and he's got himself a trade. He's got enough for them to get by. They're not going to be begging. They're not going to be in debt. He's got enough to live. What's stopping me giving the go-ahead? Where am I getting a criteria that, no, you need to save 10,000 in your bank account? And then, no, where are we getting that from? That's preference now. That's not scripture. That's our preference. It's good advice to give to people. Yeah, but it needs wisdom. Because God can be sometimes in things which maybe surprise us. Let's finish. What about age? What is the right age to marry? Is it scriptural? Does the Bible tell you must marry at 21 years old? No. Young men were generally expected to reach, number one, a certain level of maturity. It's not your age, it's your maturity that counts. Saints, we have 33-year-old babies. And we have 18-year-old men. People mature at different times. That's why it's your cert. There's got to be a certain measure of maturity. And you be honest with yourself as a young man. Amen. I'm not mature enough yet. I'm still going to pray about marriage. I need the Lord still to take out some of the greenness. I need to become a little bit more golden brown in the way that I handle things, where I react to situations. Be honest with yourself. And somebody comes and wants to marry Beatrice, and Virgo says, I think maybe it can go ahead, but if I were you, come back in a year's time, because you're very immature. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. If you're connecting nicely, if you really feel that, look, I really do think, go and wait a little bit more. Go and become a little bit more mature. That's good advice. Yeah. And a genuine young man, Jacob was willing to wait how many years for his wife?
7 years.
Hey, some people can't wait 7 months. Yeesh. 7 years, and then he gets given the sister. Then he says, okay, I'll wait another 7 years. Well, they got married, and then he paid off another 7 years. So, you know, a genuine young person's going to be willing. So, okay, if you really love someone, they're worth waiting for. And if people are counseling, the Bible says, the prophet says, do it prayerfully and advisably. Sitting down with the pastor, sitting down with the elders. I'm thinking of getting married. What do you think? Hey, if I were you, I'd go and pray a little bit more. Yeah? Take that very seriously. Take it very seriously. You won't regret it. You know, she's not going to run away. But people get scared and think, ah, somebody else will marry her. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Has God not got a vision for your life? Has God not chosen exactly the right person for you? Is God going to close his eyes for 6 months and somebody is going to get in there, she's going to marry the wrong person? No, it's natural for us to feel like that, but we have to overcome that. You have to put our trust. If she does go and marry somebody else, that wasn't the person that the Lord had for me. I was convinced in myself that it was, but it wasn't really the person. So firstly, you need a certain level of maturity, and secondly, the ability to support a family. When you get that inside of your life, we're not speaking on the spiritual side. Obviously, we've already spoken about that, that you need to be able to be led of the Lord. You're ready. You're ready. Yeah? If you're working at your job, or you're working, getting into a job, you might be earning not so much now, but the potential's there. You're going to earn more as time goes by. No, saints, let's not put unnecessary restrictions on people. Yeah, I think if we really, really keep a scriptural balance on these things. Okay, we'll finish with this story. We have 5 more minutes because we started 10 minutes late. What about Abraham always giving the example of his friend, Hermann Holtz? Hermann Holtz, good family. He marries Evie Knight's daughter. They live in Silver Hills. That's a picture from a house from the 1930s in Silver Hills. He says that 24-karat gold doorknobs, they were gold-plated. It was a serious place. And they asked Brother Branham to marry them. He said, I don't know why they asked me. He says, we had to practice going in and out, kneeling on a pillow, throwing confetti over and over again. He says, just a big rigmarole that there was. He says, and they were so rich. Once they were married, Hermann Holtz never had to work again. They had plenty of money. And they were living in a big house in Silver Hills. He says, a few months after that, my brother came to me and said, look, I know this one young man. Okay, I don't think he gives his name. He said, I know this one young man. He wants to get married. He's raised enough money to pay for the marriage certificate, the registrar, but he doesn't have money to pay the preacher to do the wedding. And Brother Bram's brother says to him, no problem. My brother never charges for anything. That's a very, very good testimony, that friend. He never charges. He'll marry you for free. So he comes. So they speak together. They arrange for a certain day. Here comes the girl from the countryside. She comes to the wedding. They're just going to do a very simple wedding, just like we're doing today. She comes, puts on this wedding dress. She doesn't have shoes on her feet. She can't even afford shoes on her wedding day. Hey, the young man comes. He's got an old shirt, doesn't button up straight. You can read it. Brother marries him. He says to him, okay, look, once you're married, where are you going to go and live? Now, this would be a big one for a dad. Son, when you marry my daughter, where are you going to go and live? We're going to go and live in a boxcar down by the river. Yay. It was a depression. Things were tough, friends. You're going to take my Rachel to a boxcar. You know? That's not an easy thing to think about. But that's all they could afford. Now, not all is going to live there, but that's the best they could afford. They want to live together. They love each other. And the best they can find is an old boxcar by the river. Hey, our people get quiet when you say that. Because we're all thinking, see, we put all these ambitions and requirements, and we must, in this, like I'm saying, in the culture we're in, the environment we're in, no need for a person to live in a boxcar these days. But a person might only go and live in a one-room apartment when they get married. That would be our equivalent. Yeah, and you've got a big house, you're living in the countryside, you've got four cars in your driveway. See, what kind of young man is this wanting to marry my daughter? Maybe it's a young man that never had the opportunity that you did. And he's just looking for an opportunity to express himself, but he loves your daughter. And this is what God has chosen. They're going to build their home together. They're not always going to stay in the one-room apartment. Next thing, they're in a two-room apartment. Then they're in a house in the suburbs, and they got themselves a nice car. He had a car, this young man, a Chevy, and he had tied the headlight on with baling wire. Imagine driving into your driveway, coming to speak to you about marrying your daughter, and dunk, the headlights falling off the car. But these people, they got married. And Brother Branham was happy to marry them. He says, I can really see that God is in this situation. Now look what he says. He says, I always tell my young couples this. Happiness does not consist of how much of the world's goods you own, but how contented you make yourself with the portion that is allotted to you. Read your church age book. The vast majority of God's people are poor. Not in the Western world, but go to Congo. Most believers don't have a car. Is that not true? Go to Zimbabwe. Most believers go to church on bicycles or on the bus. I know many spiritual, wonderful believers living in a single room, Mkoba, in Gweri, in the township. You have to catch a bus to go to church. And they're struggling to get money for tomorrow's food. Do you not know people like that? The vast majority of God's people through the ages have been on the poor side. They haven't been rich. Laodicea, if you're living in Laodicean culture, it's a little bit different, but that's the way that it is, you know? And it's just something that you've got to get used to. He says, it's not how much of the world's goods you own, but how content you are with what is allotted to you. Not comparing yourself so much with other people. Like Brother Bram said, Brother Barry said, he said, the problem with our generation, we want on the day we married, everything in the house that took our parents 20 years to amass. But we want to move into the house the day we married, and it must be chock-a-block with the best. If Gucci could make a microwave, you'd have a Gucci microwave. That's the kind of people that we are. It doesn't have to. If you can do that, wonderful. Hey, I would love a millionaire, billionaire brother to come and want to marry Rachel if he's spiritual. I'd love it. I don't want her to have to go to work and all that kind of stuff. That's great if that can, but that's not what's going to happen. That's going to be the exception rather than the rule. Generally speaking, that's not the way that it's going to work out. You know, so we need the leadership of the Holy Ghost, and we need divine compatibility. So finally, you know the story. The prophet, he marries them. He goes up to Silver Hills to go and see the couple in Silver Hills. What's happening in Silver Hills? He goes there, gets up to the luxury house. He hears them having a big fuss in the house because there was a dance the night before and this girl was dancing with somebody else. Now they're fighting in the home. And he gets to the door, knocks on the door. They take hands and come and say, oh, good to see you, Brother Brown. And he says, how are you guys doing? Are you happy? They say, oh, we're very happy. He says, you could tell that it wasn't. You could feel the spirit in the house. They had outward riches, but they didn't have Christ in their home. Now, if you can have outward riches and have Christ in your home, wonderful. That's really, really wonderful. But that's not always how it's going to work, especially when you're starting off. It's not many times not going to be like that because God wants you to grow together. God wants you to get established as a family together. You start appreciating things when you buy them together, when you don't have everything in the beginning and you're putting your things together and you feel satisfied. Hey, we've got a nice sliding wardrobe now. Yeah, now we got you, whatever it is that you're trying to buy. And then he says, look at that. And then he says, after, let me go and visit the people in the boxcar. And he gets down there, he says, I was being a hypocrite. He says, I didn't show them. And I looked through the little window which they'd made. He says, and there was the young lady sitting on the guy's lap with her arm around him. And he had his hat on the table, bumped his hat down, put the paycheck in it. He was earning the same like Brother Brown. Wasn't a lot of money. And they had the bills there. We need to pay this, 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 this. He said, honey, let's forget about paying the insurance this month. She says, no, we can't. He says, I so much want to buy you that dress that's on sale. Hallelujah. You see? And she said, you don't have to do that. You know, the time will come that you'll buy the dress. And when he finishes up on that and he speaks, it's indoors, indoors, he says, and I stood there and I turned around this way and I looked up on top of the hill and I could see the steeple on top of the house of the other people. And I thought, which is the rich man? Which one would you take, Billy, if you were going to take your choice? It says, let me have a real true wife, one that loves me, even if I have to live down here in a boxcar. For I tell you, happiness and contentment, money cannot buy. Money cannot buy love. That's the real thing. Amen. Let's stand, saints. Every situation's unique. Every one of us is individual. But I'm just trying to say today, saints, let's be wise on these kind of things. Because you hear of certain things and you see certain things, but where are we getting some of these things from? No. May the Lord lead you. If there's divine compatibility, if God is in the program, all is going to be well. All is going to be well. Let's just bow our heads. If you desire something before the Lord, why not raise your hand up to the Lord and say, Jesus, you help. Maybe you're looking, you're thinking about marriage now, you're starting thinking about these things, and you're saying, Lord, show me the way. I want to go your way in these things, Lord. Yeah. Whatever situation you're in, He is the answer. His presence in your life, His presence in your home. Just to hear His voice, that's what we desire. If you don't know Jesus and you want Jesus in your life, to lead you in these big decisions of life, to forgive you of your sins, to take you by the hand, to lead you day by day. Why not raise up your hand to the Lord and say, Jesus, I've messed it up. I've made many mistakes. But today, I've heard of one who never makes a mistake. I've heard of one whose leadership never fails. Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life. Father, as we pray this day, such a happy day for our brother and our sister to come and take their vows, Lord, before your people and in your presence. Father, we thank you for these examples. We thank you for a prophet that you gave us, Lord. Father, that we can learn so many things. Father, Lord, we appreciate it, Lord. Father, the mistakes that he made, the hard times he went through, you help us, Lord. We just want to have the same anointing, the same Holy Ghost in our lives, Lord, and you will lead us and guide us the same way in our own callings, Lord. So bless your people, meet every need, and Lord, continue to bless us now as we continue on with this service. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's ask the song leader to come and lead us in one song as we switch things over on the Zoom and all that kind of stuff that needs to be done. Yep. And then we'll ask, once we've sung the song, we'll ask for the sister, for our brother.